This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Ringgit and Cents on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. You're now listening to Ringgit and Cents, the show that's all about personal finance. I'm Roshan Kanesan. In 2020, central banks around the world cut interest rates to stimulate their economies on the back of the pandemic. In Malaysia, the OPR rate was cut from 3% to a record low of 1.75%. Now, while this is may be good for consumption, it certainly isn't great for savings, with FD rates falling significantly. So, what are your options if you're looking for better returns without taking on too much risk? To find out, today I speak with Yap Ming Hui, Managing Director and licensed financial planner with Whitman Independent Advisors. Ming Hui, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Now, Ming Hui, the last time we talked on the show, we were talking about investments and the way to do it without getting too worried and anxious.
Yes.
Now, when we talk about FDs, it's that safe place to put your money, right? But we've seen rates come down so significantly that people have to start thinking about other ways. But before we get into those alternatives,
yes.
Overall, what are the key points to remember when we are looking for higher returns?
Yes, I think we need to be careful when we search for higher return, especially for those who have been comfortably a long time putting money in FD. I would say the first point is to understand that the new investment alternative that you're looking at is to understand what is the realistic return. Say, for example, there may be some investment alternative out there promising you a guaranteed capital, but at the same time, they're giving you 8% return. That is the kind of achievement whereby even Amara Saham Bumiputra can't give you that. So you may want to think twice. Number two is to understand the risk involved. Say, for example, some people start to think that, hey, maybe I invest into Forex, foreign currency exchange, I speculate on the movement of currency, maybe that can give me good return. But you got to be careful about what risk involved. Now, you may lose 10, 20, or even 30% of money before getting the return. And the third point is that you may want to check if the investment is legitimate. Because there are many investments online, you do not want to get into the investment that may lose your whole capital. So an investment which is regulated by, especially Malaysia regulator, will give you some peace of mind.
Yeah, so when we're taking a look at the investment landscape, when we're particularly when we're comparing to fixed deposit, it's important to note that, of course, the risk tolerance here is much lower because we're looking for safety as opposed to growth. Now, yes. With that in mind, what are the alternatives to fixed deposit?
Yeah, if we were to inch out of the fixed deposit comfort zone, I would say that if we were to look at something slightly higher return, but also the risk also do not grow too high, risk controlled kind of investment, I would suggest three investment alternatives for consideration. Number one is money market fund. Number two, bond fund. Number three is REITs, Real Estate Investment Trust.
All right. So let's break down those three options, right? Because some may be familiar with them, with those three options. Some may not be familiar at all. So let's try and find a middle ground here.
Okay.
Now, first thing, let's start with money market fund. What is it, Ming Hui? And why is this considered a comparable alternative to FD?
You see, money market is a kind of fund, is a kind of instrument that invests in the short-term debts, okay? Such as commercial papers, repurchase agreements, treasury bills, and ringgit deposit with local financial institutions. It offers very good liquidity to investors, just like fixed deposit, and is suitable for investors who are concerned about capital preservation and liquidity. So, but if you were to compare as a unit trust fund, compared to bond funds and equity funds, money market funds have the lowest risk. Okay, it may give slightly higher return than fixed deposit. Say if fixed deposit 1 month, Maybank is giving about 1.5% a year, you can get maybe about 2+% for money market fund.
And when we look at the money market funds, because there are multiple out there, there are various options, right? It's not as standard as a fixed deposit per se. What should I be paying attention to with different money market funds?
As usual, when we look at any investment alternative, I always suggest investor to look for best of breed, which means to say in the category of money market fund, local money market fund, we want to look for the better performing one, exposing to the same money market instrument. However, when we look at this comparison, we need to look at the underlying asset. Some money market fund may claim to be a money market fund, but if you were to examine closely, you will find that the fund manager may put some of the money into bond fund to increase the return of the money market fund. So for that matter, that is not pure money market fund because you have also exposed yourself to the risk of bond paper.
Right. So when you're looking at the money market fund, then you need to look at the components of it as well, right? Because if a money market fund is then performing, let's say, better than a money market fund should be, that could be a red flag.
Mm. Yes. Say, for example, most of money market funds do about 2%. Then you have got one money market fund who's doing 5 or 6%. So that should raise an alarm to say that what a superb kind of job this fund manager has done to get the additional return. So that justifies the effort for you to research further.
So look at the underlying assets, the underlying debt papers, and kind of pay attention to where the asset the fund manager is putting that money. So that's, yes, I guess, one thing to do there. Mm. So what are the risks then when we look at money market funds?
When you invest in money market fund, even though I say it's the lowest risk, you know, compared to other fund, you still face the risk of the poor fund manager managing it poorly and inflation, you know, because inflation could go higher than money market fund return. And also the return as compared to fixed deposit is unguaranteed. Even though the return can be quite steady, but still is not guaranteed like fixed deposit.
And capital isn't guaranteed as well, right? Unlike the fixed deposit.
Yes.
So I think that's a baseline of money market fund. I think we're getting a pretty good understanding at that point. Mm. So let's move on to the next one here.
Yes.
Bond funds. Mm. So with a bond, you're effectively lending to the issuer in return for interest payments and, of course, repayment of the original capital over time. So with a bond fund, you're investing in a diversified pool of bonds instead. So Minghui, what's the benefit of a bond fund then overall in your equation here?
Mm. The benefit of bond funds is that it is a fixed income funds which are generally less risky compared to equity funds. Okay, and compared to direct bond investing, which means to say you invest into one bond paper, bond fund will issue regular dividend, either quarterly, semi-annually or annually, and the coupon payment and the maturities are not fixed. So you can withdraw from it regularly. Okay. Now, you can benefit from regular income, you have got some form of stability from the equity market, and you have diversification from different bond paper, and you have a professional to manage a portfolio for you.
Right. So how does this then differ from money market funds? What are the specifics here?
Mm. Bond fund has got higher risk. In technical terms, we say it has got higher volatility. And at certain point, if like one bond paper inside a bond fund default or get downgraded, you may end up at certain point losing maybe 5 to 8%. That period of time. So this is a thing that seldom happens for money market fund. Okay. So, and also another difference is that, of course, bond fund being higher risk, it also offer you higher average return. According to Bloomberg, it offers about average about 4.8 kind of average return for bond fund, which is, I would say, double the return of money market fund.
Yeah, but there's more volatility with the value, right? So you could see depreciation in your capital, the capital invested, if, say, a downgrade should happen like you mentioned.
Mm. Yes.
So when you said just now that 5 to 8% fall, that's in the capital invested, not the rate you return back, right?
Say, for example, you invested 100,000, your investment could drop to 95,000 or 93,000. This is what I mean at a certain point. Okay.
Right.
But on average, if you invest for maybe 3 years or 4 years, but you average it out, you may still get your 4% or 5% per annum return.
All right. We'll talk about what to watch when choosing a bond fund in just a little bit, as well as the last category of Minghui's three alternatives here, REITs, in just a little bit. You're listening to Ringgit & Sense on BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Ring It In Sense, the show that's all about personal finance. I'm Roshan Kanisan. This morning, I'm speaking with Yap Ming Hui, Managing Director and Licensed Financial Planner with Whitman Independent Advisors, for his three alternatives to fixed deposits, especially in this ultra-low rate environment. Ming Hui, we were talking about bond funds a little earlier and you gave us a little introduction to all of that. I want to ask you now, when we take a look at bond funds, again, like money market funds, there are a variety of them out there.
Yes.
Bond funds, there are even more. What do I watch when I'm looking at all these different options?
Again, I always quote best of breed. If you're looking at Malaysia bond fund, we want to choose those bond fund that give you the same exposure to the risk, but give you a slightly higher return. So, but what we talked just now, not all the bond funds have the same risk and return profile. So for example, if I took an example, when we really want to compare apple to apple, we need to categorize certain bonds as like safer bonds. Those bonds that invest into, those bond funds that invest into bonds issued by government of developed countries. So they are considered less risky. And there are also another category of bond fund, which they call high yield bond, which invest into high yield emerging market bonds, and these are quite risky. So the return from risky bond generally are higher than those, I would say, developed country kind of government bonds.
Right. So when we take a look at the bond situation, when on the overall scale, the safer the bond, the less interest that is paid out, right? Because with the riskier bonds and the riskier bond funds, the bond issuers need to give a higher rate for people to take that up. And we were talking about ratings earlier. So like recently Fitch downgrade Malaysia, that will have its own implications on Malaysia's bonds and then the JLCs that also rely on Malaysia's rating. So these are the things to pay attention to, right? So
one more thing to add on this selecting the right bond fund. Because in market, as a consumer, you can go to different institutions to buy bond fund. Even the bond fund from same fund house. You can go to the bank, but you can see some bank charge you about 2% sales charge for you to buy the bond fund. Some institution may charge 1%. But there's some like, corporate unit trust advisor that charge 0% for bond fund. So as a smart consumer, of course, you want to go to the provider that offer you the same bond fund with zero sales charge.
Because end of the day, when it comes to any any fund will charge you a certain rate. So it's important to pay attention to that and make sure that if 0% is available, then I think that's really great. But a lot of times you have to, there is always going to be some certain amount of fee. Just pay attention to that because you don't want to, you don't want it to eat into your returns in the long run.
Yes.
So, Ming-Hui, we talked about ratings when it comes to bonds, and this then leads into the whole risk situation when it comes to bond funds, right? So what are the risks here?
You see, bond funds invest into a portfolio of bond papers, and each of these bond papers has got potential to be downgraded or even default. No, in Malaysia, you got kaput together. So, and in my professional experience of past 20 years, I can say every 2 years, I will hear a bond paper in the fund get defaulted. And when that happened, that would affect the return of the paper. In fact, that's why I want to take this opportunity to warn the investor that if you imagine if you to invest into a bond fund and there's got 10 paper, you got one downgraded or defaulted, the impact is only 1/10. Okay? But if you were to use your money to buy a direct bond paper and that particular bond paper got default, then your loss will be the 100% and not 10% of your total portfolio. So be very mindful about this default risk of any risk of bond fund.
Yeah, so bringing it back down to that fundamental level, a bond is essentially a loan from one party to the other. So that default risk is you're stating there is essentially if the bond issuer can't pay you or your capital back. So just something to keep in mind. Finally, Minghui, let's talk about REITs. Probably a more familiar instrument with Malaysians. This differs from the two previous options we talked about, and quite significantly, because this is a combination of essentially properties and equities in terms of the asset classes there. In a very simplistic way, you're basically buying into a diversified pool of properties and getting rental income from that, from the aggregate diversified pool. Why do you consider this to be a comparable alternative to fixed deposit?
Basically, when you invest in REITs, okay, you enjoy a good recurring rental income from investing into a good REIT, because REIT normally own a shopping mall, a warehouse, a office building. So it has got existing tenant that pay rental. So that normally give you a good rental. And plus also, you can also expect a price appreciation. Every 2-3 years, there is a valuation done on the piece of property, you know, like any other property, there is a valuation done, and there is a appreciation considered. So based on Bloomberg record, we are expecting to have about 4 to maybe 5% average return for REIT investment in Malaysia.
Okay, so that's interesting, right? Because you're getting essentially what is a distribution, regular distribution, kind of equivalent to a dividend payment. But that distribution is based on the rental income that the REIT gets. At the same time, you might see some appreciation from the property property gains or property appreciation
valuation.
If those properties are handled well or the like. But we've, you know, 2020 showed us also that anything can really be impacted, right? So it's important, I guess, to ask the question, what's important to note when you are choosing a REIT?
So when you choose a REIT, especially if you are not investing in the REIT fund, which is managed by a professional manager, then the responsibility to pick the right REITs fall on yourself. So I would say, the rental rate for any property depends on the demand of the property. So it's very important to choose the REITs that are not only well-managed, but also situated in a good location. So remember the mantra of property investment, location, location, and location. You know? So this is important to look at.
But also sectors, right? Because, you know, over the last year, maybe we've seen sectors like retail REITs not do as well, but industrial REITs have done better, right? Because warehouses and the like. So the question then related to that is, with REITs, what are the risks here?
So that's why as an investor, we need to be aware that different REITs has got different exposure. So the rental income for certain sector of REITs is subject to different challenges at different periods. So for example, for the past 1 year, there is this outbreak of COVID-19. So retail REIT sector is very much affected by COVID-19. But another REIT sector like industrial REITs and also maybe warehouse REITs sector, those are getting a good return from this outbreak. So for that matter, you need to be aware of what this particular REIT invests into, because not all the REITs are the same. And there's another risk when you invest in REITs, because for Malaysian, Singapore is quite near to us, Hong Kong is also not too far. So if we were to invest into overseas REITs, then you are exposed to foreign currency fluctuation. So you may make money from the REITs, but you may lose due to currency fluctuation. So this is an additional consideration when you make a decision to invest into overseas REITs.
Right, and but also with REITs, you also have REIT funds, right?
Yes.
So that's also in line with the rest of the the episode. That's also an option for you to diversify that risk as well.
Yes, so that's why for certain investors who are who cannot afford to spend so much time to research the difference and the underlying asset of one REIT to another, investing in the REIT funds may help you to solve all this issue. Because a REIT fund manager do research, pay visit to those property, and help you to diversify the REITs outside Malaysia. You get to expose to REITs in Malaysia, of course, Singapore, Australia, Japan, Hong Kong and even China. So by having a more diversified pool of REITs under your investment, that somehow stabilize your overall return and reduce your risk exposure.
All right. And when we take a look at REIT funds, then I'm going to say that you're going to say, look at the best of breed, right? End of the day, it comes down to that. So look at the returns, look at the fees involved as well. What else should I be paying attention to?
We need to look at the track record of the fund manager because, again, some REIT fund may look like a REIT fund, but it is not. Say, for example, if you talk about REIT fund, we mean that those fund managers that invest into only REITs, okay? But there are some so-called real estate fund out there available in Malaysia market, invest into not only REITs, but they also have got the freedom to invest into property development. So then you will have a mixture of like REITs, okay, and property development share, which is not in line with your risk appetite and your return expectation. So you need to be careful about that.
Yeah, because property development is more of a chunky source of income as opposed to rental income from retail,
yes,
which is more stable. Also, I guess with REITs, capital isn't guaranteed and returns aren't guaranteed either.
Yes.
All right, Ming Hui. And actually, if you want to learn more about REITs, you can catch an episode on Ringgit and Sense that I've done before. It entitled What to Watch When Buying REITs and Dividend Stocks. You can find that on the BFM app or on bfm.my or wherever you get podcasts, actually. And I'll link the episode in the show notes. Ming Hui, on that note, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you.
I was speaking with Yap Ming Hui, Managing Director and Licensed Financial Planner with Whitman Independent Advisors, and you've been listening to Ringgit and Sense, the show that's all about personal finance. I'm Roshan Karnison for BFM 89.9.
Ringgit and Sense on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.